As we finish this last clip on here, Mark Dever said, look, we're not trying to be negative here. As we go after revival and revivalism, we're talking about how to get people saved, what growth looks like, what true conversion is. He said, we're nervous about things that mean well, but are not from God. But he said, that's not our goal, to be negative. He said, we want churches that love God and love their neighbor. And he said, the germ that's going to be seen in churches that love God and love their neighbor is churches that are following Christ and calling others to follow Christ. And then he went on and said, these churches are going to be doing things. A lot of that energy will show in those things in red. That's how it'll play out. Now he said, before we get to those things in red, he said, churches that love God and love each other, and that's what they're known for. That's what they do. But they're known for loving God and loving each other. If we're going to get to those red things, and a bunch of you said, well, that's just external. Yes, but I will say those are essential. Those are essential byproducts of healthy churches who love God. Well, then we have to go back to saying, how do we love God? How does focusing on our churches being marked by loving God and loving others foster the germ of following Christ? So we had to break this down again. We said, to whom would Jesus be precious? Before you say we need to follow Christ, you need to say, well, why would you follow Christ? Christ is only important to those who want to be reconciled to God. Someone who believes love, life, truth are all sourced in God. Someone who starts with God. And we looked at Psalm 90 the last couple weeks. He determines reality starting with who he is and what he's created. Remember the one once. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No explanation. Where did God come from? In the beginning, God created. John 1:1. It just left me. Go ahead. John 1:1. Don't get it. You either know it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, or through his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. He upholds all things by the word of his power. God speaks. So how we love him, how we love others, we must look to him, who he is. He determines. And love gets simple. Find what God is valuing and value it. Find what God is doing and fill your life with this. What is required to find what God values and does, and then fill your life with these things? Well, like we said in Hebrews 11, without faith it's impossible to please him. The one who comes to God must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We must start with a reality that is larger than our comprehension, larger than what's created. See his hand in it all, and show a dependence underneath him. So then we said, okay, and you did well with that, well, as we think, because you need to think more on that. What would show that I'm growing in love for God? How do I value what he values? How do we strengthen that? Okay, how does defining love for God and others lead to following Jesus? How does loving God and loving others then lead to follow Jesus? He said, this is the germ. You could disagree. You could say, no, he's misguided on that. But I don't think any of you would have a problem with saying we should follow Jesus. How does loving God and loving others lead us to follow Jesus? Go ahead. What do you think? Not just why should we follow Jesus. How does loving God lead to following Jesus? What are you thinking, Jim?
Okay. But the love of the Father toward the Son.
Great.
And to us. That's what I'm seeing this morning.
Okay, so he says, all right, now we got chicken and egg going on here. You got to come to Jesus in order to get to God. Okay? I'm pushing against that a little bit but remember, the goal here isn't to insult you. The goal is, most of us have been in many churches that say they want to be true to the Bible, right? That we do not have a works-based salvation, okay? And we say we love God and we follow Jesus. And you figure out the holy way to say baloney. It ain't happening. And you go, well, I'm not looking for perfect. I'm looking for a general direction of what it means to follow God. Now, if we say you need to get to Jesus to be able to love God, well, then you can you see why eventually we've dumped out the Old Testament? There's this progression going way before Jesus came. There was a God interacting with his people, right? Remember Luke 24, when the men on the road to Emmaus, through Moses and the prophets, he showed what it said, testifying about him. It's way before we see the character of God. So you're right, they come to Jesus. They're right, they come to you. 2 Corinthians 5, we are to be ambassadors as if God were entreating through us be reconciled to God. And how will they hear without a preacher? Yes, in the formal sense, preacher. But again, in Matthew 28, all of us are called to go and make disciples. Okay? And if you don't take the directly from Matthew 28, the disciples were to make disciples who were then to make disciples. Okay? They were called to do this. And so there's something that's going back further, and you say, well, what are you going to do with Jesus? He's not just another person. No, he's not just another person, but you have to come back to loving God first, all right? Chuck Colson was a little more ecumenical, very ecumenical, more than I'm comfortable with, but it was his book about 30 years ago called Loving God that hit the fan. People were reading that all over and all of a sudden realizing we're missing the core here. How does loving God, loving others is a subset of that, lead to following Jesus? There's no way. All I need to do is follow Jesus. Where are you going, Tracy?
It goes to sacrificing. So Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. He gave up himself. If we're going to love others, love God, I think we need to be sacrificing for our brothers and sisters in Christ in many ways, whether it's our time, our talents, our money. So by sacrifice.
Okay. All right. So let's put Jim's here. What about Jesus leading to knowing God? All right. How does sacrifice fit? Because I'm going to say chicken or the egg with sacrifice as well. Sacrifice as well. Remember in John 6, they listened to his teaching, they all followed him, and then John 6 is full of some hard statements where it said they left him. They left him. And like Tracy's saying, that Jesus made it very clear that if you're going to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross daily, follow me. When that one wanted to follow him, he said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. All right, no one putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Philippians 2 have the same attitude which was in Christ Jesus. There's sacrifice, okay? So we're going to get there. Sacrifice is part of that, but how does loving God lead you? It's just a shoot. You can't love God without ending up following Jesus. Why? How does that work? Okay, all right, John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So Jesus is saying that. So again, keep going. You guys do well with this, all right? Keep following this thought. How does that, how does then loving God lead to what Sam said? John 14, 6. He's right. That's why it's a necessity. You cannot love God without following Jesus, okay? Go ahead. Where are you going, Araceli?
Okay. That God said that God wants us to reconcile with him, and the only way we can do it is through Jesus.
Okay, okay. You can't love God. if he's your enemy. Again, all I have is pictures of North Korea in my head. I just see that round, square guy there that's standing there, all right? And I see those tons of people with all their military, and then there's always a missile following on a truck somewhere in those parades, right? I don't know how that goes, right? But you just say, they love their country. They love their leader. Do they? You know, but they're not saying, but what happens if that leader is destroying you? Who doesn't love their leader in North Korea? So we're talking about, is he really good? The other thing is, back to what Araceli said, even if God is good, what happens if you're his enemy? What happens if Satan goes, just kidding, I'll do whatever you say to get back on your side? All right? He's dependent on God. She's heading there. How does loving God lead to following Jesus? Reconciliation. All right. Love leads to seeing the problem of I don't know, let's say enmity. All right. Calling for reconciliation. Reconciliation outside our power to achieve. Our chief, God, did it through Christ. There's no loving God without, you can't, heaven's, the door of heaven is going to be barred to those that say they love God, but didn't know him. Depart from me, I never knew you. The way, like Sam is saying, is through Christ, but the only way to get through Christ alone is to understand the depths of division. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Okay? Again, I think that was another children's hymn. A lot of the ones we're barely hanging on to in here, and maybe they need to go, were written to catechize our children. And right at the core of the gospel message is you can't fix it. That's why you got to be careful. Why am I pulling this apart? Because you got to stop telling everybody God loves you. God is love. But you say, well, but wait. God is for us. Yes, he's for us. But apart from reconciliation, the wrath of God abides on us. He cannot be holy and turn toward you. So if you don't start by understanding, and you go, well, that just makes everybody feel terrible. No, it only makes the people feel terrible who won't listen to the rest of the sentence. But God demonstrates his own love for us. How does loving God and loving others lead to following Jesus? To look at God is to see he's holy, you're not. You start seeing the depths of your depravity, and being saved doesn't show you less of your depravity. You can't look at God all week and think you're amazing. On the other side, when you look to Christ, remember the crude analogy last week? Then you can flush the toilet every day. You can be right with God because of Christ. Because of Christ. Go ahead. Build on this now. You have to get this, or else, see, this is why churches are filled with support groups for every one of those booklets that's over on the side table. Support group for anxiety, support group for special needs, support group for addictions. So go look at everyone over there. Everyone over there, single mothers, I got it. These are all issues, but all of a sudden Christ is assumed. He's not the hope. Follow Christ. Follow Christ. You're going to tell me to follow Christ. How does love, and that's going to be sufficient. So MacArthur wrote that book a long time ago about our sufficiency in Christ. Forget the title, but another one. There's another book running through my head too, talking about all that we need is found in Christ. You say that, but we don't live it. How does loving God, subset loving others, lead? It's just a funnel. It means follow Jesus. I need to follow Jesus. Now you're following. Go ahead, Olga, what are you thinking?
So I wanted to clarify a little bit. So the way the question is, I don't know, I'm a little bit confused.
Yep.
So we can't really love God if we didn't come to Jesus.
Right.
So, like, how then, like, why it's upside down?
There you go.
So the question, I
yeah,
just
why
don't
is
get it.
Jim's question wrong? Is that what you're saying? Oh, yeah. Well, Jim said that. Jim said, well, we got to come to Jesus to get to God.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
How did Abraham love God? How did Noah love God? How did Adam love God? Okay? So I'm not getting rid of Jesus. You and I can't. We have to have Jesus. But here's what I'm saying, all right? It's not just what I think. You'll go around the country and hear all these people that love Jesus, and you go, oh, they just do it different. They stand upside down and chew bubble gum while they do their church services, right? We walk out of a service and we talk about their externals all the time. We go, well, I don't know, I don't like it, but I don't know, maybe it's just different. And Jesus gets assumed. We're not talking it's the third part of where the youth group. There's youth group goals: love souls, teach roles, make disciples. Every time I teach it, I think we're not getting it here on the adult level, so I start again with the youth, all right? Every one of those statements that we're saying, we're here to love, teach people to love souls, they can't learn if they don't understand their role under God and then under others, and we're here to make disciples, followers. The key to making disciples is what you believe or value influences what you do and what priorities you'll have. What you believe or value influences what you do and what priorities you have. Very few people will say prayer is unnecessary for the believer. Then why is the prayer meeting so a duty? Like, I've read it all over. If preachers want to guilt their people, all they have to do is talk about, are you praying as much as you should? Okay? And then praying about what? All right? Is my mom just an anomaly? All right? When she prays, she's praying hours for lists for years. All right? She'll say not everybody needs to do that. But where did that come from? Saying it isn't just you breathing a prayer throughout the day of help me not to kill my kids, you know, or help me to stop eating chocolate. Okay? You're not looking for that. We're looking for that throughout the day, but there are things that you are to be, this is how we, remember the woman with the unjust judge in Luke 18? It so doesn't make sense, because the unjust judge says, I'm going to respond to you not because I value you, not because I agree with your request, but just so you'll leave me alone. For this answer?
Yeah.
All right, let me come back to that. So he says, this is how we always ought to pray and not lose heart. Well, then there's a kind of dependence, which is where Tracy's going, a kind of dependence that's required that I don't think we have. If we all think we need that, then why aren't we praying more individually and together? Why is our Bible study all dependent on us liking the preacher and his style, or whichever? We're being bombarded. You can listen to whoever you want. That's part of the problem in our churches. I'm not just trying to get you to tolerate me. I'm going around the country and finding people that are opposite my personality, and their people are doing the same thing. They're saying, I'm not like you. I don't get it. I'm not going to be here for very long. And we're saying, all you have to do is love God, which will lead to loving each other. then we're saying that discipleship comes from following Jesus. So back to what Olga said, now you don't get to God except through Christ. But you've got thousands of years where loving God had nothing to do but except a shadow of Christ being seen. You go, well, we're not here. We're not there. We're here. Careful. Careful. That's why I said, don't pick on Andy Stanley for dumping the Old Testament. It's happening all over the place. All right? When I look at the scripture reading that we don't do, you know my goal is to get us through new passages of scripture. Theoretically, if we preach on the new, I'd like to have an Old Testament passage. If we preach on the old, I'd like a New Testament passage. But as I look at the list over the last 7, 8 years, it's getting longer and longer. There are massive chunks of Isaiah, Ezekiel, Chronicles. We're not hearing. Do you need them? If you just say that was for then and not for now, then throw out the whole counsel of God. There is something that allowed you to love God, worship, and please Him back then that you're missing. That if you get that, will lead to following Jesus in ways that you've never thought of before. So yes, we're talking about faith, but how does loving God and loving others lead to following Jesus? Like, you know, Sam started there with saying, well, Jesus said, well, what? So what? Jesus is just another messed up guy that says, listen to me and you'll get to God. Why is it a necessity to follow Jesus if you love God? Jim.
Let me take another stab at this. I'm going back to creation, Adam and Eve, where they were created in the image of God to have commune and fellowship with God. They were supposed to have like a community glory as they expand their family, but they fell. But there was a promise of a redemption. If you look at Genesis 3, and that promise of redemption was years in the future. They were supposed to love and commune with God, and they still did, but they fell.
Those longing for redemption. I don't know how to get rid of my emotions. I'm loud in all the ways, but my tears are all over the place. As you're talking, I'm thinking about that Andrew Peterson song we're singing, right? Do you feel the world is broken? We do. He goes, is he worthy? Is he worthy? Yes, he is. The people that long for redemption. I'm not going to quite get to it. I apologize for when I struggle to come out of the forest, like, and you just sit there hanging in the wind, not knowing what I'm talking about. You got to do what Olga just did, what Jim just did. Say it again. I'm convinced that the answers lie in much of what we already know, not somewhere else. Not somewhere else. So then we have to go back into what we think we know. So that all of a sudden, all right, that you start seeing a path through scriptures and you're not dependent on your own personal experience. Where am I going with that? This week, Joseph, 3 verses, right? Joseph, as he's dying, right before he dies, he said, God will surely care for you. Listen in the sermon with that. What that refers to. He'll surely care for you. He will visit you. All right? You start following that word through. You see that the people were looking ahead for the care of God. How did Joseph make it through without getting therapy? You go, well, I don't know. He probably did get therapy. From who? From who? Yeah, that's what we're saying. There's something God will visit. Well, you know what's cool? You're going to hear it next week. And since you'll forget it now, I'll tell you. All right? Next week, the next time we hear this after the Exodus and stuff, where's it coming? God will visit you. God will visit you. It comes to Zechariah, the priest, John the Baptist's father in Luke, as he starts saying, and this is where the Lord will visit us again. And then it comes through Christ. That's so next week, and I'll give you the verses, and I'll do it right, all right? So listen for that next week, because it just killed me. It's like here I'm sitting there saying, being overwhelmed by all the stress in America today as we're not getting more stimulus checks from the government, and the gas is costing too much, and my kids keep costing more money, and I think God to visit us. God, remember, even in the Exodus, I have heard your cries. We're not talking about eliminating problems. We're talking about not eliminating our foundation when the rug gets pulled out from under us. That's what we're talking about. Those longing for redemption will say, I look to God. He is the only one with the answer. And that answer is only in Christ. There it is. How does loving God than loving others? This preceded Jesus. You said, no, Jesus always was. Yes, I got it. But they didn't see that. And they were called to love God and love others. How does it lead to following Jesus? Come on. Okay. The persistence. Okay. That's what I was saying. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I've thought of that many times. Why don't you just answer that? How does that happen? A people that honor with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. How does that happen? Right. As their God, and then we're going to say Jesus as the way to God. And he is. Like Olga said, like Jim said, we don't get to have this apart from Jesus. I'm just saying that she said, remember Jeremiah, right? You'll seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Go look at Jeremiah 29. That's not just a verse you hang on your wall. It's a verse after they have rebelled so much and they have done everything wrong, and it's in the middle of judgment, and he's going, there's going to come a time. This is. I know the plans I have for you. All right, that's not just a feel-good verse for us. This is for the people of God while they're being disciplined, and many of them will die before they see this. Why is that important? Look at Joseph. He's going to die without receiving the promise. He's going to die. And you and I live in a day when we judge God and our Christianity based on how our life goes. That's not what Joseph did. That's not what the prophet Jeremiah was saying. Remember, the guy was pretty abused, right? Thrown in the well to die, all this other stuff. I mean, he's saying the words of God. He's saying words of hope, and they didn't want that kind of hope. Okay? Persistence to know what means to love God. Can you answer that question? How do people end up worshiping with their lips, but their hearts being far from God? What crosses your mind with that? You can carry on with the Pharisees. They, outside, they're whitewashed tombs. Inside, they're full of dead man's bones. How does that happen? Look, I'm looking at myself. I'm not just calling you out. How does that happen? Charles.
I think there's a verse near that verse that says their fear of God is the commandment of men. And so I think when it stops with just hearing it and then just trying to like outwardly perform but not actually fearing God in the heart.
Hearts. Say the last part. I heard the first part. So I think it starts
when it stops with just you know, somehow hearing the fear of the Lord and then just doing an outward thing without doing what, you know, and I'm not saying we don't do that, like getting with God in prayer and like just fearing him
without
in the heart.
What? All right. Stops with, I'm going to say obedience without, what do you want to say? Right. Now, see, but the problem is when I think of compliance, I think of when my kids look at me and nod and they don't talk. And I think, what? Do you get what I'm saying? Or are you just wishing I would shut up? And you realize if you disagree with me, I'm going to go on longer. Right? And so compliance seems to have, they comply. When he says, these people worship with their lips, but their hearts are far from it. I thought, Do you think all of them thought they were being fake? Do you think they thought they were living in outright rebellion against God? Do you think they were just kind of, God, we weren't speeding. Remember I told you that Mennonites were also worried about shunning and the bishops and whatever? And then I found these big, powerful bishops don't seem to know what's going on with all their people, right? Because watch out, here's the bishop. Don't do it. The bishop's here. The bishop's, that's bad. Which is one of the reasons why I know a lot more that's going on than some people wish I would know, but I don't act on it. I'm not looking. If you act on it too quickly, you're not getting to the root. All you're doing is forcing compliance here. So stops with obedience without, and yes, we're talking about compliance, but we're talking about without fellowship. See, that's why I was talking about, you know, what Tracy said, faith, because that's what I'm saying is our prayerlessness is not just that you need to pray more, you need to ask who would pray. Who would pray? And you know where the last part is? Everybody who says, oh my God, is not swearing. They're taking his name lightly at times. I do it lightly too. But you know what they're saying? They're saying, oh, this is a big deal. Oh my God. All right? So where do you hear that? They're about to hit a deer and they go, oh my God. Don't you think at that minute they're calling out beyond themselves? They don't know who God is, maybe. I don't know who God is. But at that point, they say, I need something beyond me. Who prays? Either the people trying to do the right thing, comply, like Jonathan said, or people who, there's right in the middle, we're starting to get it. They see the problem of enmity. They're calling for reconciliation outside our power to achieve, right? Those longing for redemption, now all of a sudden Hebrews should start coming alive to you, right? Let us come boldly to the throne of grace so we may receive mercy and find help in our time of need. Boldly. Why does everybody think God's mad at them? He gave us access into the inner veil, right? You got to have the Old Testament to realize, wait a minute, Paul about is done in because he tries to bring somebody to the temple who wasn't supposed to be there, right? Remember that? He's done in. We're so used to running before the veil that we're irreverent. Can you answer any further with that? How do we worship with our lips, but our hearts far from him? So Charles is right, and I wish he could find that verse sometime because it's ringing a bell with me with that. You got to look at that. How do we worship with our lips, but our hearts are far from him? Stan? All right, Nicole. Go ahead, Nicole, forgive me.
I think there's, even when we're trying to love God, I think there is often just, we don't see God, and so it's so much easier to be concerned about just our impression, the impression we give to other people. And so it is so much easier just to deal with, I have to play the part, I have to look the role, and being so concerned of letting the world and those around us block our view of God. And so it can't get to our heart because we're just always fighting the, what does this other person think about me? Oh, now what does that person think about me? Oh, what am I doing wrong in their opinion?
Focus, however you want to put that, Nicole, if you want to put it differently, on impression of association with God and never actually getting to God. Think on that, which is why, yes, we're going to do that Behold Our God study. It's helpful. But one of the reasons I'm slow to do it, and the reason we didn't get to it is not because I want to talk on and on. There's a bunch of reasons. Because in September last year, we were about 3 weeks away from getting to that study. And then there was nobody to teach the Sunday school class. I wasn't going to put that on my dad. And Tim was gone, and we had somebody else doing BIC. And I say that, I know that's fighting words, because some of you go, why didn't this one? Why didn't this one? Why didn't this one? There's a lot of reasons. Keep looking. And if you think we don't want other people to serve in that way, you don't know us. But see, the answer to these questions is, I'm not God. No other pastor's God. No other theologian is perfect. But you won't figure out all the pieces that are going on in our head. What makes a solid, healthy, growing church? If you won't figure it out with us, why do you think you're figuring out with God? And you go, I'm figuring out with God, I just don't get you. No. As I have loved you, you also ought to love one another. It isn't loving. You love in the same way that I have loved you. So here what happens is everybody goes, I'm not judging you, you're judging me. And you know what I've said to that? That's a lie. We're all making judgments, and we should make judgments. We need to make righteous judgments. And back to what Nicole said, how do you know that you're representing a God that you can't see when you just go, well, all it takes, Babylon Bee this week, right? How to show the world that we love God without Tebowing, right? Tim Tebow, you know, whatever, touchdown, points up, I don't know, whatever he did. I've thought about that for a long time. We pick on those professional players. And my dad will come back and go, this guy's a Christian. I said, prove it. And he goes, well, he said, da, 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 da. I go, yeah, that's right. He said, da, 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 da. All right? And Kanye West is a Christian. Prove it. Right? Well, do you realize how hard it is for those in notoriety to ever become a genuine Christian? It's the same reason I'll tell you, when you... That college discussion is a loaded thing. Not everybody needs to go. We're a tiny church, right? One of the reasons I felt it's helpful, I want my kids out of here, is because there's too much wrong scrutiny that goes on when all of a sudden our kids start showing attention for a guy and girl. Do you know what you're asking of a kid when everybody's watching every move you make? And you go, well, they should. They're not ready for this. I'm just trying to save them from the evils that I went through. And what kind of relationship do you have with them? I don't know, but somebody should say, do you know how hard it's to live with everybody not talking, but everybody thinking someone should say? And what about the someone who says? You go, I tried to say something and they were defensive. Perhaps that's right. They were defensive. The other side is they knew this was the tip of the iceberg. There was 50 others that felt the same thing. Well, how do they live for God? Maybe you needed to care more about how they live for God, not how they perfectly date. You say, well, it's too late. Well, there goes another one. I thought they were, there goes another one. I didn't do it perfectly down at college, and there were no cell phones, no video chats, no anything. I feel terrible to this day how I dated with some of it. So busy finding God's will for my life and trying to be pure that I think I dumped a whole pile of girls, and I was a jerk. God had to use that in the girl's life, in my life. There has to be something that's greater than our latest trauma. People aren't going to treat each other right. You don't treat me right, and I don't treat you right. There's a lot. And when you say, well, then what do we do? Nothing? No. When you see stuff, you got to come up humbly and just say, look, for whatever reason, I'm not much in your life. I'm seeing something going on. Help me understand what I'm seeing. And please, I know this is awkward because we don't get time to talk through this, and we might not. So please, I'd rather try, all right? Keith Green had a song to his parents. His parents weren't saved. And remember, it was a song to my parents that says, it's only that I care. I really, really only want to see you there, meaning in heaven. Please try to overlook my human side. I wish you would try to talk to when you see things out of line. But start realizing you don't know anything about them and their family. How is their parents different than yours? You go, they did it wrong. Then why do the parents want to talk to you? This is so complicated. As Nicole's saying, since we can't see God, we focus more on impressions of association with God. And I thought, I just said to somebody the other week, if a football player got saved, I think I'd tell him not to tell anybody for about 2 years. Remember, Paul was taken to the backside of the desert for a few years, right? The student of Gamaliel, and he had to be quiet. John the Baptist was out in the desert for a while. Jesus had 30 years. We don't know what went on. Maybe they need time of quiet. I don't know. That's unfiltered. It's not thought through. But I'm just like, everybody makes this big Jesus thing, and then all of a sudden we turn around and go fake. fake, fake. There's got to be a pathway. So think about this. Anything else? Stan, where are you going?
Yeah, forgive me for blending between your two questions too much.
No.
But a part of me has trouble unbalancing the way that you're doing here with separating God and Jesus in order to rebalance to where you're getting to. But there's several thoughts that come together. One is Old Testament, New Testament. In both cases, I think the Spirit had to be at work, that they were responding to something. Like, if nobody gets saved apart from the work of God,
fine.
The responsibility was to respond to whatever, however God was moving. Like, take Abraham. He responded to God's voice somehow. We don't know what that looks like, but he responded. Yet, with that, there needs to be a humility and a teachable heart that you want, that you recognize there's something greater outside of yourself, and that you want to follow where that truth lies, where that reality lies, that's not from within yourself. And so through the Holy Spirit, or however you want to talk about that, like, the need is to respond to that inner thing that Solomon talks about, the emptiness that's in us. Like, the Pharisees, like, just to come back with them, like, for what we know about them, there was a response of, not response perhaps, but they were trying to work their way to God instead of letting God lead them to himself. Like, they had the commandments, but they were still focusing on the works orientation without the Abrahamic relationship of obedience.
All right. There you go. No, those will work. Those will work. Remember, you think it's a shibboleth here. Remember Peter himself. Lord, nothing has ever entered my mouth unclean. Are you comfortable with every application of that passage you've heard people use it for? Well, that was then, this is now. Get over it, Peter. That was then, this is now. Do you realize what happens as we become unmoored, not only from Scripture, but from the progress of redemption down through church history? Do you know why those books are over there? Not for you to become intellectual. Here's the problem. See, I wish somebody would read A Brave New World in here from George Orwell. I wish you'd go back and read that. Atheists, some of these guys, they were messed up. But you know what they said? There's going to come a time when there's literature and nobody cares about it. It doesn't exist. I just heard it this week again. The key is to be able to get your stuff onto YouTube or some video platform, because people don't care to traffic in ideas. You know what it is? See, I'm trying to figure out, should we ever get people to read again? And what happens? What do we lose if we don't read something? And how are we going to stay tied when we are people of the written word? You don't read anything else? Then it's going to affect how you read the Bible. We're not saying reading is the only thing. See, let me tell you, after going through a lot of pain with different ones of my children, Hope has some kind of reading struggle on top of other pain of growing up. And part of her change is she was wrestling to get heart with God. All of a sudden I see her reading again. I said, how are you doing that? You struggle with reading all your life. She said, Dad, I found this app where you can scan up your page and it'll read it back to you. And she said, I'm playing it back while I look at the words, and it seems to work. See, that's hope. I don't know what it has to be for you. I hope's not where she needs to be, and none of the rest of them, and I'm not, and you're not, and I'm not looking for a pattern on the outside. We're looking for, I need to be under God, and I want to respond to him. But you want to respond according to knowledge. Why is the charismatic movement moving so quickly? Because you don't need the old knowledge. You're getting new revelation all the time. So we need to then not work toward God. We need to let God lead us back in. It's the tugboat, all right? So when I waste time, what do? At midnight, I'm going through my Facebook feed right before bed, right? And then you hit this thing that goes this way, right? You know what that is? It's your Facebook reels. Then I'm stupid. They put the one that catches your attention. You go and you click it, and that leads to another and another and another. And what do you got? All kinds of things. But among them are all these big boats crashing into the land, you know? All these crazy tragedies that happen. Well, this is what happens. You're running toward God without letting him be the tugboat to guide you into shore. Okay? That's so good. You answered it. Anything else here? Araceli, where are you going? Yeah, good.
We need to know, in order to love God, we need and love others, the character of God. And that's what, like I said before, how do you love God? And I'm learning while I'm here that we need to know who is him so we can follow him and okay. Be obedient and be persistent in what we're doing.
Right.
Because we had to let him lead us. But if we don't know him, who he is, then you'd start doubting.
Yeah, not knowing him. So I just started pulling out. You know the classic in the last 30, 40 years on this? It's simply called Knowing God by J.I. Packer. Go read it. You said, why? I'll just read the Bible. Why don't you read some of that and then say, oh, yeah, I knew that. Oh, my word, that's right, God. And it warms your heart, and all of a sudden you go back and you read in the Bible like you're reading every day, and you said, that's my God. That's my God. Because what she said, you don't know him accurately, doubts. You say, I don't doubt anything. Well, then how do you know you're not making a whitewashed tomb? So, no. I'm just following whatever he said. You're not any different. I'm not any different than those in Scripture that meant well and wandered. Look at all the warnings about false teachers. And we're not looking to be fearful. We're saying the right antidote to false teachers is to know God. There's your answers. You got them. Is there anything else? Yeah, Charles, go.
I have a question.
Shoot.
And this might be for more another time, but yeah, just off of Stan's answer, you know, it sounds like letting God be the tugboat is
a little backwards
because that
that's a small boat, but he's leading you in. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Is that different than seeking God and saying, okay, he said that if I seek him, I'll find him? And how does that too?
Well, there you put it. That longing. Remember. The temple, right? Simeon. Simeon. They were longing for the consolation of Israel. But don't you see what's going on here? Part of it is you longing for your own heart to be restored. Part of it is if you really love God, you want to see your kingdom come and your will be done. See, it's a slight difference. If you're Simeon, you're not only saying, God, be merciful to me. I didn't hear that. You hear him saying, come, Lord, come, save your people. You want to see something beyond you that's being done. So how does loving God and loving others lead to follow Jesus? No. So, back to that. It's seeing beyond your need to glorious plan of God. All right. It's what in Quest for More it called it. It's Oz Guinness in one of the articles I was reading today called it. It's the word transcendence. It's transcendence. Transcendence leads to caring about the people of God. That this is what Joseph's going to do. He's dying, all right? Here's the sermon in a few minutes. He's dying, and you don't hear him go, hold my hand, could you remind me of promises of God? No, he's telling the people that are around his deathbed what God has promised. Because God's plan goes beyond him. He doesn't go, I'm just gloriously saved. He goes, this is what he promised. It's ahead. Run toward it. You see Paul doing that, right? Here, you don't want to answer. You did a good job. That list is where it's going. Here, in why does loving God lead us to focus on Jesus with that? All right, Jesus is the treasure of heaven. Why is he the treasure of heaven? He brings us to God. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's the treasure of heaven. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive glory and honor. He's the treasure. You cannot look to God without seeing Christ. Back to what Olga, Jim, you go. You have to do this so that you will follow him. So that he can tell you this week, get behind me, Satan. You do not have in your mind the things of God, but the things of man. Why do you have to see Christ? Because he intercedes for you. If you don't need him to intercede for you this week, you say, thank you, he intercedes. You're not realizing how bad the problem is, right? I watch cop shows every night, probably more than I should, right? And you know what they always say when you corner them? I'm not talking without a lawyer. Get me a lawyer. You have an advocate. I'm writing this so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Haven't you heard Dad say over and over all these quotes? I've read them too. That if we could convince people that they were not identified by their past, that there was a way to be free from the wrongs they've done, it would clear out half the mental hospitals. Okay. Well, that's where Jesus. We have to. You can't look to God without looking to Jesus. Jesus is the answer for all of these things. He intercedes. The gospel is not Jesus. The gospel is God opening our eyes to the riches in Christ. So as I close here now, Ephesians 3. Pastor just preached on it. Ephesians 3. You said the gospel is Jesus. Well, here, look. Ephesians 3, 7 to 10. Well, to be specific, verse 6. The Gentiles are fellow heirs, fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise in Christ through the gospel. The gospel of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Ready? We go home this week. You'll be fully paid your salary, your weekly salary. Instead, you sit at home and write down everything that you can about the riches of Christ. How big will your book be? That's what's driving on prayer meeting when I say, can you find something to praise God for? And we have about five things. You say, he's faithful, he's strong, he's all-knowing. Tell me something. Tell me something that you've seen in his word about his faithfulness. You should be able to keep going on and on and on. Well, he was faithful. He was faithful to Jacob. He was faithful. He was faithful to his people, and they didn't deserve it. He was faithful to my dad, and he was faithful to this church. I was just reading this week in Revelation about change this or I'm taking your lampstand out. I looked at some of the stuff those churches were going through, and I thought, do we know what it is to endure this? Lord, would you show us? The end result is the same. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We're going to come back to the love of God seen through Christ. But it's going to be a foundation under our feet. It's not Jesus plus. It's Jesus is the direct result of me knowing that I was created to have relationship with my Creator, knowing that you are good and that you are above, knowing that you are a judge, knowing that you are holy and we don't even love your ways. And so, Father, we need you. Help us to think through this, please. And would the end result be us proclaiming the gospel of Christ so that people are at peace with God? Father, would you help us then to get this for ourselves and to be growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And then would you help that to spread in our homes and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.